Hi, everybody.
Tell us, I guess, this will be mini. One fun thing about
yourself. One fun thing about myself is I grow dinner plate dahlias and heirloom tomatoes in the summer. So the fact that it snowed in Boston this weekend is devastating. So I'm Sarah Kallick. I'm from Oxfam America, and I'm here to talk about ending hunger and adapting to climate change in communities and on Capitol Hill. I have no disclosures. And I evidently have no technical abilities. So we're going to see. Excellent. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about Oxfam and our race-based approach, about the gender dynamics of MDG 1 and 7, and then I'm going to talk about some Oxfam and community innovations that are supporting women to end hunger and build environmental sustainability across the globe. And finally, I'm going to talk about some important policy changes that can happen here in the United States, which can support women to feed the world. Okay. Excellent. All right, so I wanted to start just by saying that Oxfam approaches ending poverty, hunger, and injustice worldwide through a rights-based approach. And this has 10 aspects, but I really wanted to put an emphasis on number one, which is putting people at the center. I will get this eventually. So our number one goal in all of the work that we do is to listen and engage as equals with people living in poverty, especially women. And I put this first and foremost because we are not going to reach any of the Millennium Development Goals unless and until women are empowered to be the change makers in their community. So we always use participatory approaches. If you are in the field in Ethiopia, you won't see an Oxfam sign anywhere. We support community partners, nonprofit organizations in country to work with communities to find solutions. We provide support, we provide funding, but communities are the primary change agents, and specifically, we believe women are the primary change agents. So what does this mean for MDG 1 and MDG 7? All right, audience participation, what's MDG 1? Anybody know? All right, it's ending poverty and hunger. And what's MDG 7? Anybody know? This is around environmental sustainability. So what are the gender dynamics of MDG 1 and 7? Well, I'm going to ask you a question, audience participation. When you think of a farmer, what do you see? Shout it out. What do you see? A farmer.
Old McDonald.
Old McDonald. Some straw hat action, a little bit of overalls. Do you see a man or do you see a woman? Yes. In fact, women feed the world. The majority of the world's food is produced by women, and usually in mostly small-scale women farmers. At the same time, women make up 60% of the people who are hungry on this planet, which now numbers almost a billion. The Food and Agriculture Organization came out with their biannual report, and it came out with some astounding figures around women in agriculture. So as we all know, women usually do not have access to the same land rights, education, capital, any of the resources that men do. The FAO has found that if women had access to the same resources as men, they would produce 20 to 30% more food, which would result in 150 million more people who are not hungry. That goes directly to MDG 1. Poor women are also at the forefront of the fight against climate change. They're impacted the most, and they are able to make huge differences. So for MDG 1 around agriculture and MDG 1 around environmental sustainability, poor women can make all the difference. Okay, so I'm going to talk about four innovations that Oxfam is working on with women and with communities around hunger. The first one is the system of rice intensification. Audience participation, when you think about rice, what are the salient features of growing rice that we all know?
Water.
Hey, guess what? You don't need tons of water to grow rice. The system of rice intensification is not a new technology, it's not a robot, it's not a machine, it's not a seed. It's a set of practices which are innovated by women and by communities, which use less resources to grow more rice. Sounds pretty good, right? So communities are the ones who are adapting, innovating, and educating the system. So the general parameters are you plant younger seeds, you plant more of them, you plant them further apart, you don't need to flood the paddies, you use organic fertilizer, and communities have come up with a whole bunch of different tools for weed and pest control. And so far, this is SRI is happening in 40 countries. The yields are anywhere from 40 to 100% bigger than with traditional rice growing. And there's less water use, less pesticides, less fertilizers. So you're hitting hunger, you're hitting the environment, and you're hitting women's empowerment. Because women are the ones who are innovating the system, and they're the ones who are teaching communities around them. So they become sort of the source of knowledge and the source of increased productivity. So that's SRI. We love it. Another innovation is around weather insurance. So as most of you know, there is a famine happening on the Horn of Africa. There's been a drought in many of the countries there, which has put 12 to 15 million people at risk of dying of starvation. Oxfam is there. We're a humanitarian organization, so we are there, and our goal is to provide water, sanitation, and other services to 3 million people. But we have also have a long-term presence on the Horn of Africa, working with communities to try to mitigate their risk and to make them more resilient when droughts come. So this year, there was a drought in Kansas. Our agriculture organizer at Oxfam is actually a cattle and wheat farmer in Kansas, and he lost his entire crop. He is devastated, but he has crop insurance. So ultimately, he is protected. So Oxfam wanted to see, how can we get some kind of crop weather insurance going on in Ethiopia that can support communities to, again, become more resilient? So we've partnered with Swiss Re. How am I doing for time? Okay, good. With Swiss Re, with the World Food Program, Rockefeller Foundation, and a series of Ethiopian insurers, local community groups, farmers, cooperatives, to introduce weather insurance. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, because the risks that Ethiopian farmers face are a little bit more complicated. So, first, we have risk transfer in the form of weather insurance, not crop insurance. So farmers pay for insurance, which guarantees that if a certain amount of rainfall doesn't fall, they get paid out. So it's not about if their crop fails, it's about how much rain fell. So that's number one. Farmers were thrilled when we brought this idea to them, but they said, we're not sure that we can pay for this. What we can do is provide labor, and we can pay with our labor. So Oxfam said, and our community partners said, excellent. Let's look at risk reduction strategies that we can employ in this community that can utilize people's labor. So let's find community projects which can promote resilience to climate. Let's plant trees. Let's do irrigation projects. Let's utilize this amazing resource of labor to build strategies for this community that will also help if the rains fail. So we've got weather insurance, we've got community projects which are reducing climate risk, and we also have microinsurance and microsaving. So we're looking at a whole set of different risk reduction strategies that come under this weather insurance umbrella. This started a couple of years ago. The first year we had 200 farmers who got insurance, including a lot of women. The second year we had 1,300, and we're now scaling up to 15,000 households in 20 countries, and we're going to see if this can really work. One caveat that people always ask, we have not yet paid out anything. So the rains have come in this area of Ethiopia for the last couple of years. And, you know, we'll see what happens. It's a challenge for farmers to keep buying insurance if they're not getting payouts. And it's also a challenge for an insurer if there's several years of payouts. So there's a lot of things that we're still working on with this program, but so far, so good. Okay, we've got two more. I'm going to briefly touch on water systems. Oxfam is part of the Global Water Initiative, which is sponsored by the Howard Buffett Foundation. And we work with seven other organizations to work with communities to create different ways to control and manage water. And this is incredibly important for women. As we all know, women are the ones who get water for households and are also often put at risk walking long distances to get water. So I can talk to people afterwards, but we have a whole series of water initiatives where women provide labor and guidance and create water systems which work for their communities. I did want to spend a little bit of time on grain banks. So I've been talking a lot about climate change and how that puts farmers at risk. But farmers are also at the mercy of markets in developing countries. So in Ghana, for instance, every year at harvest time, farmers would need to sell almost all of their food immediately, even though when everybody's harvesting, there's more food out there, prices are lower, because they had debts, they had taxes, they had things that they needed to be responsible for. And this puts farmers in a precarious position, because when rainy season comes, their families are hungry, and they got to buy back their own food at higher prices, they got to take loans for that, it creates this whole cycle of poverty. So Oxfam started working with a women's cooperative in Ghana to create a grain bank. So we partnered with a local NGO and the local administration. Local administration gave this women's cooperative some land. Oxfam and our local partners provided a warehouse and seed money. And these women started a grain bank. So what this means is, at harvest time, these women buy grain from local farmers. Give them fair prices, farmers are thrilled about it. Then, when rainy season comes, and when people are hungry, these women have a whole grain storage, which they can use in multiple different ways to both bring food and to bring economic stability to their community. So one, they can sell this food at higher prices and reinvest that money back into their business and back into their community. Two, they can also provide lower interest loans to community members who are hungry. So it's both a buffer against hunger in lean times, and it's an economic powerhouse. So these women so far have been making quite a bit of money, which they're reinvesting in their business, but their goal is to build a clinic in their community because, as we all know, maternal mortality is a major problem, and women are the ones who are going to stand up and make the change. Excellent. So where am I going with this? So the grain bank has been really successful in Ghana. We have grain banks in Ethiopia, and it's putting women in charge of purchasing, storing, and selling grain, and it's giving them a whole new economic profile in their communities. So in Ghana, it has changed the perception of women in their community, and it's allowed them to be real powerhouses. So we heard about how education can do that. Giving women economic empowerment through these kind of programs also completely changes their power in communities. And again, helps feed children, helps feed families, and helps mitigate climate risk. All right, so those are four programs that we work with communities in the field to pioneer, and there's lots more. Oxfam has programs in 90 different countries, and we're constantly working with communities to try to figure out what the answers are long-term to hunger and environmental sustainability. So we have all these great model programs, but we're one NGO. We believe the U.S. government has a moral, ethical, economic, and national security responsibility to promote ending hunger, poverty, injustice, and climate change worldwide. And luckily, there is a fabulous program which is doing that. And so I wanted to just highlight that here so that you have a sense of how we are trying to change the rules which keep people in poverty. How many people here have heard of Feed the Future? Excellent. All right. How many people here have heard of Feed the Future? Everybody! All right, excellent. So Feed the Future is an Obama administration initiative to support small-scale farmers around the world to feed the world. It is in 20 countries, and the idea is that the U.S. government is going to work with these country governments to put together a comprehensive food security plan for their country and then help fund it. And there are three aspects of Feed the Future that we are most excited about. The first one is capacity building and support for small-scale farmers. So most of the people who are hungry in the world are also farmers, like 3 out of 5. So people growing food are also the people who are hungry, and this is absolutely unacceptable. So there's a whole range of programs which are going to support farmers. Two, specifically, Feed the Future supports women farmers, and this is something that Secretary Clinton has been very upfront about. There's a special fund which is going to make sure that women farmers are given the resources that they need to feed that 150 million extra people that they can feed. And finally, something that's very important for MDGs and also generally for public health is that Feed the Future has a big maternal and child nutrition component. So there's all these great components. And so Feed the Future is something that we think really could change agriculture, hunger, and MDGs. This isn't food aid. This is long-term capacity building support for farmers. So I'm going to give a small plug here. We all know that we are in a really difficult budget battle right now on Capitol Hill. Everything's on the table. There are huge cuts on the table to foreign aid, including Feed the Future. And Oxfam has been working very, very hard to advocate for life-saving foreign aid. And if all of you do anything fun today, I hope it's that you call your senator and encourage them to support foreign aid and Feed the Future. Literally, this may be coming up on the floor of the Senate this week, and there are a lot of amendments which could potentially cut funding for Feed the Future, but also for a whole array of global health programs. So incredibly important to call your senator. Oxfam has been bringing leading women from the United States to Washington to lobby their senators. There's us 2 weeks ago with Senator Grassley. We have blanketed DCA with these posters. So when you're leaving, please look for them. Billboards that are highlighting our community partners and what they're doing around the world to stop hunger and why we need foreign aid to continue that. We've got action alerts. We've got all sorts of stuff. But this is incredibly critical. These next couple of weeks, we have the potential to lose billions of dollars in life-saving foreign aid that will impact global health. So that is my final plug. Thank you very much.